Current State on 90.5 WKAR. Welcome back. I'm Mark Bayshore. Lansing's elected officials have begun discussions over the city's fiscal 2016 budget. Among other items, Mayor Virge Bernero's proposed spending plan calls for the creation of a new high-ranking position at the Lansing Board of Water and Light, Inspector General. On another front, there's ongoing discussion over pay raises for the mayor and city clerk and city council, set to take effect on July 1st. To help us understand more of what's in play, we welcome back Lansing City Council member Carol Wood. Welcome back, Carol.
Good morning, and how are you today, Mark?
We are well, thank
good.
You. It's good to have you on with us here. Before we get to the budget, though, I want to ask you about an incident that's come to light involving federal ICE officials. These are officers from the U.S. Immigration and Customs Enforcement Division. Todd Haywood of the Lansing City Pulse reported last week that ICE officers took an undocumented immigrant living in Lansing into custody at 54A District Court, 6th Floor of City Hall, back in late January. According to that story, Argimiro Hernandez Garcia was paying a traffic ticket when ICE took him into custody. You're looking into this in your role as chair of the City Council's Diversity and Inclusion Ad Hoc Committee. How much do you know about what happened here, and why is this important?
Well, Carmen Benavides, who was helping this gentleman, came down to council and made a presentation before us explaining the situation that she had been involved with this gentleman. And the issue was not whether he was documented or not. The issue was how the arrest was made and whether we put other citizens at peril in the circumstances that were happening, and her concern for that. We had moved this into the, as you indicated, the Ad Hoc Committee on Diversity and Inclusion to try to get a better answer to that. We brought in the court administrator, Anithia Brewer, along with Captain Daryl Green, who's responsible for the facilities at City Hall and the police department downtown, to find out if they were aware that that ICE was in the building, that they were going to be making an arrest. And neither one of them were aware of that. And I think the other issue that came up was how the officers themselves acted and how people around them felt threatened in the circumstances. They weren't wearing jackets that said ICE on them. They looked as if they were businessmen, but, you know, there was a lot of yelling and shouting at individuals. And anyone that's been involved in 54A District Court in the City Hall building knows that it's close proximities to both witnesses and those that are being brought there for charges. I mean, it isn't conducive to having discussions. And people sometimes, because of the temperament that they're in, react badly to something that might be going on. And that was our concern. First of all, when they come in the building, are they announcing themselves? Are they working with our security, our police department? Because, again, in the aftermath, they're the ones that will be responsible for taking care of whatever situation has happened because of that. The other was, what are the procedures? When somebody, you know, whether it was on the court docket and they saw that, you know, how were they informed, and could this have been something that had been handled just as well right outside City Hall versus inside City Hall?
Mm-hmm.
Council passed a resolution asking for a number of things. One, an investigation. Two, that there be some policies and procedures put in place in dealing with both the courts and our police department. And we actually invited the district manager for immigration to our ad hoc committee so that we'd have a better understanding. Ours isn't to necessarily just criticize. Ours is to also understand.
The ACLU and some immigrant rights advocates are saying ICE should not be picking up people in courtrooms. But others, I'm sure, would point out that, I mean, Mr. Hernandez-Garcia has already been deported twice, and he was convicted of DUI in 2010. Those people would say, since this man is here illegally and getting into trouble, that there's really nothing inappropriate that it took place there. Are you disputing that, or where do you think you come down on that? You would just like a more, it sounds as if you would just like a more controlled set of circumstances.
I think first and foremost, we need a more controlled set of circumstances to make sure, again, people in charge. I mean, when the police department did not know they were there, when the court administrator had not been informed that they were there, you have somebody tugging at a person that's in a suit. You don't know what that is. There was no identifying badges or paraphernalia, you know, as if they were in uniform or anything else. And I think first and foremost, it's how they approach a situation. Would there been a way to have a room that they could have gone into and invited him into that and then handle the situation? He didn't flee. He wasn't fleeing.
I'm wondering though, Carol. I'm wondering if there's a possibility, if these officials are clearly identified, wouldn't it increase the chances that someone would flee?
Well, and again, those are questions that we'd like to sit down from an ad hoc committee and have more information. Are we familiar with this? Is this something that happens every day? No, it isn't. It's not something that I, as a council member for 15 years, this was the first I had been given this type of information, that this had happened in City Hall. Does that mean it's never happened? I don't know that.
Okay.
But I do know that it raised enough of a concern for both the courts, for the police department, and for council to want to come up with some answers and to see some procedures in place that make this a safe situation for anybody coming to our court. It could be somebody off the street that's paying a traffic ticket that isn't involved in this that ends up in the middle of something. And so our goal is to make sure that the court system and when people come to it, it is a safe place and they can feel confident in that.
The situation's become more confused in recent years because ICE has agreed to back off apprehending undocumented immigrants in what it refers to as sensitive areas, churches, schools, hospitals, and a few others, but apparently halls of justice, they're not giving that one up. We'll keep an eye on it. Let's move on to the budget here. Mayor Bernero has proposed $200,000 for a BWL Inspector General position to, I'll quote here, continuously monitor BWL finances and operations and report shortcomings to the mayor and to the city council. You and a few others on the council appear to be hesitating on that proposal. Where are you on that now?
I believe that that's redundant. We have some things in place that could be utilized. One of the things that we have is an internal auditor that works not only for the city council, but the mayor's office or any department can ask the internal auditor to do an investigation and to look into policies, procedures, as well as the financial end of it. So the fact that we already have that position, is there the potential of maybe the fact that that position might need some additional help if they took on the matter of looking at the Board of Water and Light as well? You know, that's something I'm willing to take a look at. But we as ratepayers are paying a general manager roughly around $250,000. Now the mayor is asking that the taxpayers pay an additional $200,000 for a position. So we're looking at almost $500,000 to manage the Board of Water and Light. To me, this is ludicrous.
Excessive. Your colleague Jody Washington told the State Journal that interim general manager Dick Pefley is, quote, on top of it, unquote, suggesting that she's generally at least in agreement with you and that the board is doing a better job. Do you generally agree with that?
I think there are still some shortcomings with the Board of Commissioners. I think there are some trainings. I think there are some more transparencies and things that they need to do better. But does that mean that we as ratepayers, as well as taxpayers, should be spending an additional $200,000 to make sure they're doing their job? First and foremost, if we don't believe that the Board of Commissioners aren't doing their job, then we shouldn't be reappointing them to positions. And when their terms are up, we should be looking for commissioners that can handle the management of the Board of Water and Light.
Carol Wood is our guest. Carol's a member of the Lansing City Council. You've said you'll be donating your 20% raise that takes effect July 1st to charity because the raises were not appropriate. Has anyone else joined you on that?
I think there are a couple other council members that have indicated that they were going to. I think I read that Jessica Yorkel had made a similar statement, and I think Jody Washington had as well. I'm not sure whether there are other council members that have made those decisions or not at this point. Of course, we've not heard any of that from the city clerk nor the mayor's office.
An independent commission recommended these raises. We have less than a minute, too, by the way, Carol. Why are they inappropriate?
I think the issue was the amount, the 20%. No one out there in the private sector, when they receive raises, are looking at that type of percentage. If this had been 2% this year and maybe 2% next year, I think the public would have been more than willing to support something like that. But when you look out there, that many of them went without raises as well during difficult financial times, they didn't receive a 20% raise.
Carol Wood is a longtime member of the Lansing City Council. Carol, thank you for your time.
Thank you.